Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Here we are, the first of the year, and a lot is happening already. The Mother's Day Parade in Philly started it off. Additionally, the Human Rights Campaign is upset that Christian colleges and universities are applying for a Title IX waiver so that they won't have to allow men who think they're women to room in the women's dorm or use a woman's shower or bathroom. Jonah has lost its lawsuit in New Jersey. Twitter has a new policy and much, much more. And to address these issues, my guest is Peter LaBarbera. He is the president of Chicago area-based Americans for Truth About Homosexuality. Thanks, Peter, for being with us.
Thanks, Diane, for having me on again. I appreciate it.
It's always good to have you on because you always have lots of good information. You know, this year, starting off with the Women's Parade in Philadelphia, where they had a new homosexual transgender division in their parade. And it's, to me, it's just troubling that they're taking this whole thing with the transgender and pushing. Of course, Philadelphia is one of the most liberal cities in the country, and their new mayor, Jim Kenney, is very, very pro-homosexual. As city council member, he tried to ban Chick-fil-A from opening a store in the restaurant in their city. But Mother's Parade has been around for like 116 years, and it's always been viewed as kind of a Mardi Gras of Philadelphia. And there was an effort to kind of tone down what the Philadelphia Human Relations Commission felt was provocative or anti-homosexual or anti-whatever. They just wanted to make it a more, I guess, I don't know what word I'd use or what they wanted to make it, but they wanted it to be more inclusive. So they started,
in liberal speak, that usually means banning people.
That's exactly what it means. And they even started a Philadelphia division to make it more inclusive. And I guess it went inclusive message, and there was a guy in another brigade in the parade who had, will you explain what the guy had when it was dealing with, quote-unquote, Caitlyn Jenner?
Yeah, it was just a funny skit about this terrible, sad, and tragic transformation of Bruce Jenner from being the Olympic hero that was, dare I say, when we were kids, Diane. I'm not sure. I'm not supposed to ask a woman how old you are, but I graduated college in 85. I'm a young kid. Okay, but Bruce Jenner was one of the, you know, heroes. He won the decathlon. He was a stud athlete, you know. And then, lo and behold, in the last few years, we learned that Bruce Jenner, you know, is pursuing this female identity, and now he's renamed himself as Caitlyn Jenner. And basically, this thing at the Mummers Parade was a pretty funny skit where a guy comes out, and he's, you know, he's pretending to be Bruce Jenner, and he's throwing the shot, but he has Bruce Jenner, you know, looks like a guy in an Olympic uniform. And then they come up to him, and they take him, and they put him in a wheelchair, and they wheel him back, and he comes back, and I think, I don't know if it's the same guy or another guy comes out, and it's Caitlyn Jenner, and it's like,
wow.
in a woman's gown and long hair, like a big drag queen, and it's funny.
Then they have his picture up on a like they made a supersized box of Wheaties or with his picture on there when he had appeared.
Well,
on
they had the two boxes. They had the Wheaties,
okay.
And then they had the Olympic famous picture because Bruce Jenner, when he was Olympic victor, he won the decathlon.
Right.
He had his picture on the Wheaties box as an Olympic hero, and then he had the next frame was a sort of a doctored copy of Fruit Loops.
And
then this is a classic case of what's wrong with political correctness. People need to blow off steam. When we're in the culture and we're hearing nothing but lies, a man can become a woman. That can't happen. Your DNA never changes.
Right.
You can go back and change your birth certificate, but that doesn't mean you're a woman. And men were not meant to have sex with other men. Women were not meant to have sex with other women. Homosexual behavior is wrong. Boys can't become girls. Boys shouldn't use the female restroom or the...
Right.
This incredible situation, even the case we had on our website where the guy decides he leaves his family, he decides he's a six-year-old girl.
Oh, yeah.
A 52-year-old man leaves his family behind and becomes... He says he's now a six-year-old girl, so he can relive his life as the girl he was meant to be.
And he's moved in with a family who accepts him as... I mean, the family needs a psych evaluation.
I mean, it's just so perverse.
Yeah.
Anyways, you know, the culture is hits with this, and they need to blow off some steam. And so these Mummers guys, and I never even heard of the Mummers Parade, Diane, because I'm from Chicago.
I'm shocked you've never heard of the Mummers Parade. I've known about them all my life, but anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, I never heard of it. And then, and lo and behold, we hear this hilarious thing where these guys, you know, do this little skit, sort of poking fun at Bruce Jenner.
Yeah, part of Finnegan's New Year's Brigade, this guy, because he did what he did and is considered, you know, homophobic, blah, 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 and attacking, I guess in this case, transphobic. Good Timers Comic Club and Finnegan's New Year Brigade issued this statement. I think it was, it was the next day. It was on the 2nd of January. Finnegan New Year Brigade is reaching out to the LGBT community and offering its services to help with an LGBT fundraiser or equality awareness and to learn more about LGBT concerns.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So
you know,
it's just
sickening to me, the political correctness. It was a funny little skit.
Yeah.
Basically, and millions of people could relate to this because I've, you know, especially people who grew up with Bruce Jenner.
Yeah.
It's just heartbreaking. And our prayers go out to Bruce Jenner. We want him to, you know, reclaim his manhood, stop this foolish pursuit of womanhood at age 65.
Yeah.
You know, and you're seeing this ridiculous media treatment where they're basically honoring him. Glamour magazine declared him one of their so-called women of the year, even though he's a man. He was born a man. He will always be a man. He has male sex organs. I mean, and here's a little parade, you know, poking a little fun, and here come the humorless liberals, the LGBT thought police come in and say, no, you know, and this just killing America.
Yeah.
Because political correctness, even the comics, even left-wing comics like Bill Maher saying, you know, America is losing its sense of humor because political correctness won't allow anybody to make fun of certain politically correct ideas.
There's no doubt about that.
I mean, I'll make fun of myself. I'd love to reclaim, you know, I put in my web story, I'm claiming a new identity. I'm a bodybuilder. I'm 26. I've got a thin waist, and I've got a full head of hair.
Okay.
That's my new identity, Diana. Can I claim that identity?
You can claim it all you want, but it wouldn't change. See, but I could claim to be 16, and that's not going to change the fact that I'm not 16 any longer. Have been for a number of years. But, you know, to where we allow people to just define who they are, to ignore who they really are, and allow them to say and to accept them for saying, I am such and such, such as Bruce Jenner, who's saying that I'm no longer a man, that I'm really a woman trapped in this man's body, and I'm going to take action to do this. And the fact that the media is glamorizing all this, and you mentioned Glamour magazine listing him as one of the top, or rather one of the 25 women of the year, that's ludicrous. But the media is feeding
this. I don't know how many there were, but they have him as a woman, just like, was it ESPN who named him a hero, or...
I don't know.
One of the athletic heroes at the end of the... I can't remember. But, yeah, they're all bending over, you know, the media bending over backwards. The pronoun police, as I'm calling them, are out there. You can't dare refer to Bruce Jenner as a he.
Yeah.
You know, that's an insult. And even New York, I guess we're going to talk about how New York passed a law where you could actually get fined as an employer if you call a transgender by the wrong pronoun.
That they don't want, yeah.
They're all out there. Yeah. Can I just say, Diane, I think that one of the reasons that Donald Trump is doing as well as he is, and I'm not a Donald Trump supporter. I mean, I can't really support anybody through my organization because we're a nonprofit just like you. But I think the reason Trump is doing so well is because he's tapped into the revulsion towards this political correctness. People are sick and tired of it. The Obama years have been more politically correct, or, you know, Obama lied to us about gay marriage. He said God was in the mix, which is why he wasn't for gay marriage. Mm-hmm. And then, he comes out now he's the biggest homosexual marriage advocate in the world.
And transgender. When it comes to transgender issues, it's the same thing as he's pushing on the military and everything else.
He wants to make sure we have more transsexuals in the military so they can get those free sex reassignment surgeries, right? Yeah. And the taxpayers could pay for it.
Exactly, free because we pay for them, exactly. It's ludicrous to me.
People are sick of it, and I think it's a shame that these political, they're allowing themselves to be bullied. It's okay to poke fun at Bruce Jenner and a myriad of other things. It's okay to poke fun at, you know, greedy televangelists. It's okay to poke fun at hypocritical moralists. It's okay to poke fun at sodomy because I think if sodomy wasn't so dangerous, it would be. It's just you can make fun of these things, and shame on the liberals for destroying our sense of humor.
Yeah, and that's exactly what's happened because now you can't make fun of anything, or else you're considered a racist or a homophobe or transphobe or whatever new word they're going to come up with. It's totally ludicrous. But you mentioned New York.
Let's remind people that when they call us a homophobe or this new one, a transphobe. they're essentially ridiculing us because that's ridiculous. The idea that you're a phobe, you have irrational fear because you oppose homosexual sodomy or a man claiming to be a woman,
crazy.
You're not a phobe, you're just disagreeing because it's so ridiculous.
Yeah, but it's to make it appear as if you have a mental disorder because phobias are mental disorders. I mean, that's the game plan.
Ultimately, they will, I think, and they will try to get a psychiatric diagnosis for people who stand up to the transgender lobby or the homosexual lobby. And so, you know, this the hypocrisy is so unbelievable on all this stuff. And my only prayer is that somehow people start to say, hey, wait a minute.
Hopefully.
It's okay to make fun of Bruce Jenner, because the whole idea, and let's also not forget that Bruce Jenner has become a change agent. He He wants to tell young boys, young men, hey, you can become a woman like me.
Yeah.
So there are serious, serious implications for what he's doing.
And the media is definitely.
And we cannot allow him to be treated as a noble civil rights hero, which is what they want to do to Bruce Jenner.
Right.
They want to make him a hero, which will translate into young men and young women pursuing these tragic alternate identities.
Yeah, well, they're definitely making him into a hero, but he's not. And he is, like you said, he's become a change agent, and somehow we have to stand against it and expose the media for what they're doing. And I think, you know, maybe a situation like in New York City where they just passed that law where I think employees will be fined $250,000, I think, for not, as you said, not using the correct pronouns and not allowing transgenders to use the bathroom.
Somebody can bring an action against the employer.
I mean, that's ludicrous right now. And we have a situation where the Human Rights Campaign is, that's, of course, the nation's largest homosexual lobby group, where they're upset that Christian colleges and universities are actually applying for Title IX waivers so that they won't be forced to allow men who think they're women into the women's restrooms and showers, or be forced to allow them to be placed in rooms in women's dormitories. And that's all because the Obama administration has redefined sex as is found in Title IX. Administration has decided that that should be defined as including gender identity.
Right.
So
here's how the left works. Obama redefines Title IX to include gender identity as a sex issue, sex discrimination issue. Then the colleges rightfully say, hey, wait a minute, we don't want men in our female restrooms on campus.
Right.
So they apply for the exemption. In most cases, I believe they're granted the exemption. And then the leftist Human Rights Campaign, which I'm calling anti-Christian because they are.
Well, that's exactly, yeah.
Then they say, oh, look at all these people applying for the exemptions. Look at how horrible this is. The poor LGBT students are treated like second-class citizens. And so then they make an issue out of the Christians just trying to defend some sort of sexual sanity on their campus, and then because they sought those exemptions, now these Christian colleges will be targeted by Human Rights Campaign and the rest of the leftist echo chamber.
And we have to realize that, from the best I can tell, that only 58 Christian colleges throughout the United States have applied for these waivers. Only 58. So HRC is concerned that 58 Christian colleges have applied for these waivers so that they're not forced to allow transgenders to be housed or use the bathrooms that they think they need to use. And it's troubling to me that just because 58 Christian colleges apply for this, which they can legally apply for these waivers in Title IX, but HRC just wants everyone to accept transgenderism as normal, even as they want everyone to accept homosexuality as normal. And it's just total, their ideas that totally force you to
apply. Let me read something from the report, Diane. I got it in front of me.
Okay.
And by the way, it's like 100 and something. It's an inch thick almost in my hands here, printed out PDF. It says, many Americans look to their, this is Chad Griffin, president of the Human Rights Campaign, which is, by the way, the largest, most powerful homosexual advocacy group. It says, Chad Griffin writes, many Americans look to their faith as a source of guidance and inspiration. LGBT individuals are no different. At the Human Rights Campaign, we believe that religious liberty is a bedrock principle of our country.
Mm-hmm.
We also believe that no one should use faith as a guise for discrimination, and that all students deserve to enter a school environment knowing they will be protected. Okay, so you see what he's doing. On the one hand, they're saying they affirm religious liberty. On the next, they're saying, oh, but you can't use that claim to discriminate. So they're basically asserting, once again, we talked about in our other interview, gayria law, homosexuality is the top principle that everybody must honor, and they're basically making the case, and I hope they lose, that their homosexual so-called rights and their transgender so-called rights supersede the religious liberty of these Christian colleges who say, no, this violates our faith principle.
Yeah.
And ultimately, this is going to come to the sound of the Supreme Court, and this is why this presidential election is hugely important.
Absolutely.
Because it matters who is appointed, because Anthony Kennedy, as you told me off the air, remember, you reminded me, in the DOMA decision on gay marriage, he said, oh, that should be left up to the states.
Yeah, 2013.
2 years later, in the Obergefell decision, he says, oh, it's now universal. We're going to mandate for everybody across the land, whether that state passed a marriage protection amendment or not, they will have to abide by our edict of homosexual so-called
marriage. Which is totally unconstitutional because they do not have the right, not have the authority or the power to do that according to the United States Constitution. So really that decision is not the law of the land, but what we have too many people who are looking to the as the Supreme Court being the final authority, and that's not the way the Constitution is written.
Yeah,
we don't live under
an
oligarchy, we live under a representative republic, but we have too many representatives who have bought into the lie that the Supreme Court has the final say in all court decisions, and it doesn't work that way. And
they're basically, their gambit is that this country is so far gone that they can persuade, and the legal profession is so pro-homosexual, rapidly so.
Yeah.
Many law firms are now, you know, they're wedded to, and there's actual non-discrimination policies within the judiciary.
Right.
So as I'm trying to make the case, gayria is spreading.
It is.
Gayria law, and the implications are our freedom is disappearing.
It is.
Because
yeah.
we've already seen cases. We talked about one in the last show, but you've got the case now out in Massachusetts,
Oregon.
A Catholic school.
Oh, yeah, the Catholic school in Massachusetts.
A high school, a Catholic girls' preparatory school, where they hired this guy. He was a homosexual. I don't know if they knew he was or not. I guess they didn't. But then they hired him for a food service position. And then they said, well, give us your emergency contact information. A couple days later, they learned that he had put down his so-called husband.
Yeah.
And then they said, okay, you know, they met with him and said, this goes against our faith policy at the school. They just lost in court in Massachusetts. They are forced to pay penalties for that. They said that was an illegal firing. In other words, a Catholic school that disagrees with homosexual so-called marriage lost the decision in that case.
What mistake did the school make? I mean, they interviewed the guy. I guess they actually hired him anyway, but what did they do?
Yeah, I can't remember if they're now
they...
forced to rehire him. But,
yeah,
you know,
what steps
the court
did they...
said the huge mistake they made, this school, on their website, they have a policy of employment non-discrimination with regard to sexual orientation.
Oh.
They put that in their policy. So the judge who wrote the decision in favor of the homosexual married new hire, they said, well, you put in your policy that you don't discriminate based on sexual orientation, and this guy has a marriage just like everybody else has a marriage, only his is a homosexual marriage, and so you can't discriminate.
So they really
the lesson for that one is do not, if you are a religious institution especially, do not put anything there that gives ground on sexual orientation or gender identity. Don't put any of those provisions in your hiring policy.
That's for sure.
In fact, do the opposite, Diane, and say that you will adhere to your faith creed when it comes to hiring.
Right, exactly. I mean, how do they think they'd win a case like that if they actually had it in their policy that they would not discriminate in the case of sexual orientation? Back to the situation with the schools that have applied for the Title IX waivers. Only one in Pennsylvania. Again, these are schools that receive government funds in ways of student loans or Pell Grants, and only one Christian school is on that list, and that's Lancaster Bible College. And of course, in Lancaster, that's the only one that has applied. And they applied back on June 1st, and as of now, they have not received a waiver. So they're still waiting on receiving that waiver. But you
think about the implications of that, Diane. They have the religious freedom to live by their faith.
Yep.
That's the First Amendment.
Yep.
Yet they're applying for permission from the
to
government.
Adhere to. True.
To adhere to something so basic as not allowing a man into a female restroom.
Yep.
This is Obama. This is what Ted Cruz or a number of Republicans have said they will overturn.
Yep.
Now, Hillary Clinton, you know, we can't take a position on the election on the electoral race. Right now, if you are following the elections, you need to ask the candidates, where do you stand on these policies? Where do you stand on this EEOC Title IX change of Barack Obama? Will the Republicans who say they're against Obama's policies actually fight to overturn them?
Yeah.
You know, and that's an important thing to know in this election coming up.
And it's the moral issue is that the majority of them are afraid to stand on or make a comment on. You know, I think as we look at Donald Trump making such gains, shall we say, I think it's because he's willing to address the political correctness that we see out there.
He's against political correctness strongly.
Right.
However, you know, people need to know, like back in 2000, I think it was, he did an interview with the Advocate magazine, a homosexual magazine, in which he said he's in favor of adding homosexuality to the Civil Rights Code.
Yeah, that's not
good. You know, the media is not going to ask questions about that. Even most Americans are unaware of it.
Right.
But this is, we need to know where they stood. I hope Donald Trump is becoming more conservative on these issues. I hope he's like a liberal who got mugged because he was a New York City New Yorker, you know, and a lot of liberalism there,
right.
A radical homosexual agenda. But people need to ask Donald Trump. And I think one of the crimes of the media in this election campaign is they only ask questions, it seems, gotcha questions on the homosexual issue. You know, oh, Ben Carson, you're against homosexuality, but this company has a pro-gay policy on its board. They're not asking serious questions. They don't want to ask about this religious liberty.
No.
What are the implications of gay rights versus religious rights? They're only asking gotcha questions. They're not treating gay marriage like it's an important issue in this election. So they're fulfilling what Dana Perino said, Republican, remember the former Bush spokesman Dana Perino, who said, oh, I'm so happy. This is a Republican on Fox News. She's a consultant.
Mm-hmm.
She's on the Five program. She's saying, I'm so happy. She's a libertarian. She's happy that gay marriage is not an election issue in this campaign. Well, the reason it's not a major election issue is the media has basically said the homosexual marriage is pretty much over because of the Supreme Court decision.
Yeah, well, wasn't it just Megyn Kelly who attacked Judge Roy Moore for his order that he handed down on January 6th, where she said...
Yeah, you know, I tweeted that how quaint it was that Megyn Kelly says we're under the rule of law.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to everybody kowtow to the Supreme Court on Obergefell. Well, wait a minute. This is the modern Dred Scott case.
Absolutely.
The Supreme Court makes some pretty big mistakes, the biggest of which is affirming racism and affirming the slaughter of unborn as a civil right.
Yeah.
So now all of a sudden we're supposed to show a lot of respect for a Supreme Court which basically overrode, 32 states?
Mm-hmm.
Where the people of those states voted specifically on the marriage issue. They said, we affirm one man, one woman as the standard of marriage, which it always has been, and hopefully always will be.
Yeah.
They overthrew that in a 5-4 decision, and we're supposed to say that's the rule of law?
A 5-4 decision in which two of those five had officiated at a same-sex, quote-unquote, marriage ceremonies, so they should have recused
themselves.
That's
Ginsburg and Kagan, right? Ginsburg and Kagan.
Correct, yes. In fact, Ginsburg officiated one the month after the Supreme Court heard oral arguments in May of 2015, or rather in April 2015 when they heard it. She performed a same-sex marriage ceremony in May, the following month. And as far as Alabama, I think it was like 86% of voters voted to affirm marriages between one man and one woman and place that marriage protection amendment in their constitution. So
okay, so back up, Diane, 86%.
About 86%.
We both know.
It was up in,
In political election, the world of elections, that's beyond a landslide. That is unheard of in an election.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think in other states it wasn't quite as high, but I think, wasn't it like 76% in Oklahoma and there were a couple other 80% states?
Yeah.
We're talking, I don't know what it was in Pennsylvania, what it was, 63%.
We just had a Defense of Marriage Act. We never got to the...
Okay, you didn't.
Yeah.
But I think in Ohio it was like 60,
but even
like 63 is a landslide.
It is, absolutely.
But 80%, so basically the Supreme Court says it doesn't matter, Alabama, what you think marriage is. We're the intelligent ones. We're going to decide for the whole nation because we're the Supreme Court, you know, in our great wisdom. Yeah, forget about the fact that we led to the slaughter of, 50 million babies now or
babies,
whatever?
58 million, yeah, 58 million, yep, since 73.
In our wisdom, we're so smart that we're going to tell you what marriage is. It doesn't matter what your people believe. And Megyn Kelly comes down on that, oh, you're not obeying, you know, Judge Roy Moore says, wait a minute, in Alabama, you're going to go by what our amendment says, which marriage is one man and one woman. She's saying that it's Judge Roy Moore who's against the rule of law.
No.
I mean, give me a break. What planet is she living on?
Yeah, she needs to read her constitution. And recently, I think last month, the judge, I'm switching over to Jonah, and that's an organization that helps people overcome their unwanted same-sex attractions. And they're based in New Jersey. They were sued by the Southern Poverty Law Center using the New Jersey's consumer fraud law. And Jonah lost that lawsuit. And just last month, the judge said they had to disband. They had to close their doors. And give us some details, very quickly, give us some details on what happened with that trial. What happened there?
This is a tragedy. You had a liberal judge. You had the SPLC, Southern Poverty Law Center, which goes around calling, I don't know if you're a hate group.
We're a hate group. Yeah, AFAP is a hate group.
I joked, and the gays make fun of me, but I said, you know, if you're not on the SPLC hate group list, you're not doing any effective
work. Not doing your job, yeah.
because yeah. most pro-family groups have been slandered by the SPLC. And so this, they've now decided they're going to try to ban these or go after these reparative therapy places.
Mm-hmm.
Jonah was a Jewish organization, a small little group. They get sued by all these SPLC lawyers. They get a liberal judge, and the liberal judge says, oh, we're not going to allow all these all the people to testify on the Jonah side, because he said that's like believing in a flat earth. So here you have a left-wing judge who's basically discrediting one side. They win the lawsuit, and then the SPLC, because they're a bunch of very clever leftists, they had a bunch of attorneys involved in this lawsuit. So that means all those attorneys, if they're going to recover attorney's fees, which is what apparently the judge was allowing them, going to allow them to do, that would have been millions of dollars, because I don't know how much their attorneys make, whether it's $400 an hour, $300, $500 an hour.
A lot more than you or me.
Yes, and so basically they used that to force Jonah. Originally, I think Jonah was going to appeal, but I think they were facing potentially millions of dollars in fees to be applied, and they ended up settling. They're closing down. This is homo fascism lawfare.
Absolutely.
And I mean lawfare, I mean you're taking, instead of warfare, you're using the law to do warfare, so call it lawfare. Mm-hmm. They're using the law to shut down small groups, and Diane, they could do this to every small pro-family group in the country.
Yeah, wow. On that note, how can folks contact you?
Right now, Diane. Yeah. It's Americans. My Gmail is AmericansForTruth@gmail.com. The website is AmericansForTruth, all written out, F-O-R, AmericansForTruth.com. And you can get on our web newsletter once a week. Newsletter.
I'll sign up for that. And you can have a contact form there that you can contact you through the website too.
Yes, absolutely. And by all means, thank you for all your great work, Diane. It's tremendous what you're doing.
Well, hey, you keep up the good work there. And I didn't get into the fact that you're moving to Washington, D.C., but we'll talk about that next time.
Maybe from D.C.
Hey, you keep warm there in Chicago, and you take care.
Okay, God bless.
Okay, God bless you too. Okay.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.